As I was thinking about what to preach about this week, you know, because it doesn't always just come to you, it doesn't come to you Monday morning, I'll just put it that way. It usually starts coming to you around Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Got to thinking about it. You know, we are taught as Christians to live by faith, correct? But I got to realizing there are different types of faith. You realize that? Who here lives by faith? I'll tell you right now, you all do. You either make decisions every day, and by the way, your faith is something that you have 100% control over. Really think about that. You can either choose to believe and do as you have knowledge of, or you can do totally opposite of what you have knowledge of. Now, here's the problem that a lot of us fall into, though, is that we have two types of faith. But at times, we don't start to recognize it too much. There is the positive faith that we say that we are to have when it comes to being in Christ. Because I don't think Christ was a naysayer. I don't think he looked down and said, well, you know, the world's doomed and you know, there's no hope for it. But unfortunately, we also have our own faith, which is of a negative side. Do we not? Well, I know I just can't do that. Really? Okay, I guess you can't. And I got to really thinking about that. I mean, Scripture does not call upon us to be a negative faith type of person. But we usually operate in one facet of our faith or the other. We're usually a positive individual about something, but certain things in our lives that we're a negative individual about, right? You know, for a while I thought I could never learn to barbecue ribs. I just thought that was going to be one thing that I never was able to conquer, to be a good barbecue rib barbecuer. You see them on TV. You ever notice that? You could watch it on TV. They make it look so easy, don't they? You know, in 30 minutes, they've got this perfectly set of barbecue ribs coming out. And so I tried and I tried and I tried. I mean, the first time I did it, they were so dry. Oh, my Lord. I mean, I put way too much salt on it. I didn't cover it. And so all the moisture just went out of it. It was kind of like the Griswold's family Christmas turkey, you know, the one that you just really chew really tough on. And it was horrible. And the next one I did wasn't much better. But, you know, after a period of time and trying and failing and trying and failing, I started to get the hang of it. And now I can do ribs pretty good. So now I have full confidence that I, you know, somebody says, well, let's have ribs for lunch. I can do it. But in the very beginning, I was starting to think to myself, maybe I'm just not cut out to have ribs. One of the things I was talking about with Fernando here, when we started conversing again, he says, are you still playing your guitar? I said, no. He says, why not? I said, I'm sticking to what I do best, and that's singing. You know, I have not been able to master. I just don't have fast fingers, you know, and that I don't. Not, you know, there's some things you can be positive about, and here's what I'm positive. I'm positive. I don't have fast fingers. Okay, so the guitar kind of sits there, and I say, I can use my musical talents in better places. But unfortunately, there's sometimes that we operate in a negative side when we don't even realize we're operating in a negative side. We will say stuff like this, well, I really want to do this. I just hope I don't fail. And when we start saying stuff like that, well, I hope this doesn't happen. And I hope that doesn't happen. And when we start thinking about it and calling upon that, guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen all the time. So one of the greatest secrets in life is to never allow yourself to have thoughts of defeat. Why should we have thoughts of defeat? We have the strength of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and he wasn't defeated. Death didn't defeat him. Did it defeat him? Not at all. He conquered life. He conquered death. And we have the ability to do the same thing. On my dad's tombstone, it reads Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens me. And we said it. But do we truly, truly believe it? Do we really, really believe that? That I can do all things? Now, here's the question, though. Can I do all things perfectly through Jesus Christ? Maybe after a period of time. But in the very beginning, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, but it's pretty pitiful right now. My sister, when she came to the last service, she goes, you know, you're a lot better preacher you were than the last time I heard you. And I didn't take offense to it. I understood what she said. But the very first time she heard me minister was right towards the very first time I started ministering. Well, you don't just get the hang of this and get the feel of what the Lord is telling you and just expound upon it from the very beginning. You know, people say that this is the most frightening thing that they can do, is to talk to other people. True? They would almost rather die first than to experience having to speak to... Who here has had to give a speech in front of a group? How many of you were shaking in your boots? I mean, you didn't know you could perspire that much, did you? But after you've done it a few times, it becomes no big deal because you know how to prepare for it. You get better at it. So if we can do all things through Jesus Christ, just realize that sometimes the things that we are called to do might take some time to develop. It says that Christ has started a work in you, okay? And what he has started, he will finish. But what we have to do is to see what he has started, focus upon that, and not think of all the bad things about what we can't do. That is exercising our negative faith. Well, Lord, I know I can do it, but it might not look like what you think it should look like. I want to say that this is one of the most beautiful arrangements I've ever seen. Anybody here think that? Were you this good when you first started doing it? Did it take some time? Did it take maybe a little bit of maturing and start to understand what colors together go together, how they should fit together, how it should look naturally? I can't do that. At this point in my life, I can't do this. I could learn how to do it if you showed me. Because Christ working through you gives you patience to work with somebody like me that is challenged in this area. Okay? That's what work, that's what the strength of Jesus Christ has for you. So always emphasize the positive side of your faith because it will overcome any side of defeated. And first of all, let me ask you this. What right do we have to feel defeated in this life? Doesn't it really bother you when people that you know feel like there's no hope for tomorrow? Do we not live in a country where people come here for hope? Do they not? Here's when people usually give up hope, is when they're close to dying, when they're on their deathbed, and they feel like there is no tomorrow, or the tomorrows are very few coming upon them, and they start to give up hope. It's not a position that we as Christians want to be in. Let's look to see what happens according to Scripture. In John 6:63, first of all, we have to realize Jesus is saying this about what the Spirit of God gives us. It is a Spirit that quickeneth. In other words, it brings us to life. It brings us to life. Because the flesh, it doesn't profit anything. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said he came to give us life and that he came to give us that life more abundantly. Does it mean that he came to give you life so that you can feel beaten up more? So that you can feel defeated more? Or did he come to give you life so that you can feel like you have a new hope? See, because when you have Jesus, you have hope. Always. I've always maintained and I will always maintain that Jesus Christ and God created you for a special purpose. Each and every one of you. For a special purpose. He has given each and every one of you some sort of unique gift. Flowers, teaching, poetry. Are you kidding me? Okay? He did not give me those gifts. He gave me the gift of being able to open my lips and let air go through and flap them really fast. He gave me the gift of being able to take his word and bringing it down into the circumstances of the day where people relate to what I'm saying. That's the gift that God has given me. And I recognize the gift. And I want to use that gift to its fullest. So why should I feel defeated? Are there times in life where I'm going to have setbacks? Of course there are times in life when I'm going to have setbacks. Does that mean that we give up? Does that mean that we quit? Does that mean that we're saying, I just can't do it anymore, I can't take it anymore, I can't go on? Lord, help us if Jesus had thought that. God, I just can't take this anymore. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's sitting there praying, sweating drops of blood, sweating so under pressure, saying, Lord, if it be your will, take this cup from me. But he came only to do one thing, and that was the will of the Heavenly Father. Always to do what God wanted him to do. And therefore, Jesus said to the people in John 6:35, he says, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. What do you get from bread? You get daily sustenance, don't you? Can you? It says man cannot live on bread alone. Oh, yes, you can. You can. You can live on the bread of life. That's Jesus Christ. He gives you what you need each and every day to make it to tomorrow. He gives you that strength. But what he wants you to do is to look at what you can do through Jesus Christ, not what I can't do that Jesus has called me to do. I can accomplish all things. I can overcome all things in this world. Why? Because I got Jesus on my side. I can endure all hardships. I can take care. I can lose a mother and still keep going. I can have an addicted son and still keep going. I'm just now really starting to learn why we have an addicted son. It wasn't that God's punishing our son. God made us tougher. God gave us more of an understanding heart to be able to converse and talk to people that we know that are going through some similar situation. So Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. Do you really get that? Never hunger? They are, and he that believeth on me will never thirst. Remember the lady at the well? Remember the sermon, the lady at the well? And Jesus looked upon the woman and says, if you knew from whom you're asking water from or giving water to, if you drink from this water, you will never thirst again. And she got sarcastic with him. She goes, huh, give me this water. That way I don't have to lug these jugs all the way out here again, you know, each and every day, mile out of the town, mile back into town, just so I don't have to see those other catty women inside the city. And Jesus is making that same proclamation right now. He that eats of my flesh, that eats my bread, you will never be hungry again. And he that drinks of the spirit that I give to you, the water that I give to you, you will never be thirsty again. What more do we need in life? Literally. How can we feel defeated when we have all the bread we need and we have all the water we could ever desire? How can we feel defeated? I don't know. What we should do and what we should feel is exuberant that God has taken care of our needs each and every day for the rest of our natural life. The rest of our life. We, like I say, we live in a country right now that it was founded upon the principles where man had hope. He had the freedom to come here and to partake of everything that life had to offer him from God and nature and make the most of it and do with it whatever he wants or she wants. True? There's no laws in this country, even, I know they're trying, but currently there's no laws in this country that deny us the ability to become successful or become happy, to pursue happiness. To me, the whole argument that man is trying to hold another man down is ridiculous when you see all the different ethnicities and what offices they hold in this world, in this mainly in our country. If you look around, who's holding who back? We are holding ourselves back from the glory of God, from what he wants to give to us. So if God has given us this country, which by nature is to provide a brotherhood or a society whereby we can achieve and have whatever happiness we have, what do you think he was thinking by creating you that he wouldn't give you even more than that? There are people that are born in other countries would love to have the freedoms that we have. We have the freedom to say something profound and on this next moment say something totally idiotic. Believe me, I hear it every day. I heard a lady that was the other day that was told me she's dating a man that She's very happy because he's a very religious and Christian man. But yet he said to her, he says, I was reading the scripture, and when it comes to fornication in the scripture is really only talking about, you know, relations between man and man and woman to woman. And he said, and adultery really only applies to people that are married. And I just looked at her, I said, well, you know what? Tell him this for me. Tell him you can twist scripture all you want, but that's probably the biggest amount of hooey I've ever heard in my entire life. Okay? It is. God created us for a reason. God created Alan for a reason. Created Stuart for a reason. And that's to have a life that is filled with hope, with a hope for a better tomorrow. Do we not raise kids with a hope that they can have a better tomorrow than what we had? Do we not have them go to school so they get a better education, so they can have hope for a better tomorrow? Do we not? Why do you think that every year they come out with a new and better car? Why not just go back to the old Model T? It got us from point A to point B, didn't it? Or what about just a horse or a donkey? It also got us from A to B. Didn't it make our transportation better? I mean, nowadays you can hook up whatever you want inside your car. You can almost live. The only thing a car doesn't come with anymore is a shower. That's about it. And even some, I think, probably do that. You can have a full entertainment system inside your car. I sure hope it has an automatic pilot system also at the same time, but that's soon to come. You watch. But we live in a society where we're constantly working to have a better society. Well, God wants us to look at the positive side and exercise the positive side of our faith to where we can have a better tomorrow. Always a better tomorrow. When do you start the journey? That's the question. If God has a special work, a special design for you, a special blueprint, let me take a for instance. Somebody comes to you tomorrow and they hand you $500 million in cash. And they give you the blueprints to a home in the coast, overlooking the ocean, and the title to the property. They even give you a list of all the materials needed. They give you all the permits that you were going to need to build this house. And the house was exactly how you'd want a house designed. Had every feature, everything was perfectly laid out exactly how you would design a house. How long would you wait to build the house? A heartbeat, if that. It would start tomorrow, wouldn't it? I mean, he even has the contractor ready to go for you. All that's waiting for is the start. But that's what God has given us. He has given us all of that. All we have to do is say, I'm ready to begin. I'm ready to begin, Lord. Take a step of faith every day, step of faith every day, going forward. You might not be able to see what type of house he's building in you right now, but you know what? Once you get a certain part, certain distance down the road, you look back and you say, I understand, Lord. See, because hindsight's far clearer than foresight, isn't it? It really is. But we have to have an I can attitude. Said in that scripture, I can do all things. You could also rewrite that. I will do all things. And my last one, for some of us, I must do all things. Those are the three positive affirmations that each and every one of us here should have. I can, I will, I must do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I have to. I have no other choice. If we sing that song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, just no starting now. No, start right now. Start right now. Follow him. We also says, where he leads me, I will follow. As long as he's going in my direction. No, where he leads, I will follow. I can, I will, I must decide to do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. No turning back, no looking back, no regret, God has brought us, each and every one of us. There's not a person here that doesn't have some sort of skeleton in their closet, some sort of dead bones, some thing that we hope nobody ever finds out about us. And there's not a person here. And we don't need to. All we want to know is, what are you doing for the Lord? How are you letting the Lord use you? Are you being blessed? Because if you let him use you, you will be blessed. If you stay resistant to it, looking upon all the things, the negative part of your faith, you can't be used. Because nobody, and I mean to this in all sincerity, nobody wants to follow after somebody with a negative attitude. Nobody. They're not fun to be around. You got about 30 seconds and you're looking for the nearest door. I've said it before, I will say it again. Everybody brings light into a room. Some bring it by coming in. Some bring it by going out. You want to be the light that shines.